He taught with authority and they obey him. Obedience is a consequence of respect for authority. And we don't respect someone unless they're somehow present to us. We might be speeding along a back road in the country. We don't respect the road laws. We don't obey them until we see the presence of those funny blue and red lights at the back. We say, oops, a car, a police car coming the other way. I'll slow down. The presence of the police car brings to mind the authority of a policeman and hence the obedience of submission to the road laws. If you're in the hospital looking for a sick person, a friend of yours, and you walk in and you don't know which bed they're in, what ward, and you see a nurse doing her rounds, or a male nurse, you go to the nurse and ask them, where is Mr. Smith? Where is this man I'm looking for? And they might say, turn left, go down two rooms on the right-hand side, bed number. And you submit. You submit to the authority of the nurse. Why? Because the presence of the nurse brings that authority and you submit. Presence, respect, authority and obedience are like links in a chain. Join them together and this all makes sense. People coming into a Catholic church in the presence of God. The authority of the church says we do certain things. Because of the presence of God, we genuflect when we come in. We kneel during the consecration. And we do it with a willing submission of our hearts because we know where we are. But people today, being non-church, they come into a Catholic church, perhaps for a wedding, baptism, funeral, and they have no idea of the presence of God. Therefore, there's no respect for that presence. Therefore, they don't submit to the authority of the church because they don't just see how it all fits together. The links are disconnected. We want them always to be connected because one leads to another. Submission to authority leads us along. And that's what the word education means. Education is based upon the Latin word educare, or ducere, which means to be led along. And the leader is what we call the dux, the noun from that verb, the one in front. The best leader pulls along those who are following. And that's what we want to do each moment of our life, learn more about God and his plan for us. So Paul reminds us of the context of the family. Submission, respect, obedience and authority all are essential for happy family living. Those links must be properly connected, otherwise family life causes strife and misery. With regards to the politicians, and there's going to be much political talk after the change of government in Queensland, all I can think of is how fickle we Australians are. We're going to float from one side to the other overnight. But there's not that much respect for the authority of a party that we once had. People perhaps look at the party as what's the best deal for me rather than my allegiance to the principles of a particular party. Anyway, politics is a very interesting subject which we shouldn't bring up at the pulpit in that context. But it is the same rules. Presence, respect, authority and obedience all are connected. And God calls us to obey him because we acknowledge his authority and we respect that authority because we are always in his presence. One person who connected these links in a very apt manner and lived it out was John Bosco, whose feast day was yesterday. He died in 1888, was fatherless from the age of two, the youngest of three boys, but became a father of hundreds of thousands of boys throughout the world. As you know, John Bosco founded the Salesian Order, an order dedicated to the education of boys, the training of boys, leading them along. He grew up in abject poverty, and although he wanted to be a priest, he felt called to be a priest, especially through dreams that God gave him from a young age. There was no money, but Providence would step in and provide, as God often does, for those who are faithful and pray. His mother was beside him all his life, really. She homeschooled him, she guided him, she then looked after him as a young priest, and once he set up the order, she was like the matriarch or the godmother behind the scenes. She was very much a person of great authority, and people gave her much respect. Her presence was always close behind John Bosco. But John Bosco found himself in Turin, a large Italian city at the time of the Industrial Revolution, when boys at the age of 10 or 12 would be taken off to factories for 12-hour shifts. They were slave factories. And he realised the boys deserved more. Greater respect was wanting for them. And he set up a college system that we would today call a TAFE system, the first in the world, to teach boys trades, to form them. And it was a fascinating move in the history of education because he changed the game rules. He adopted the rules of a great educator, St. Francis de Sales. And that's why his order is called the Salesians, named after Sales, not Sales, ship Sales, but Francis de Sales, doctor of the church, 17th century bishop of Geneva, who educated people in such a beautiful manner they came to the fullness of the truth. Don Bosco knew that and adopted his philosophy, a philosophy built upon the three R's, reason, religion, and respect. Firstly, you teach boys what to do and what not to do, not by the cane, not by corporal punishment, but by giving them a reason for what they're doing. Give them a goal, an outcome, a project. Focus them on the future, and they'll more likely do what you're asking, because you've given them a motive, a reason. Secondly, religion. We need to teach people virtues. Firstly, godly virtues, that we're here for a purpose. God sees the big picture. Each of us has a destiny. Life is not a series of chances, but rather inspiration and God-given graces. Tune into God, pray, receive the sacraments, live out your faith, and then God will be your best friend. And that's what he taught the boys, not just by words, but by example. He would teach his teachers not just to love the boys, or just say, I love you, but rather teach them how much you love them by proving it to them. Especially by looking them in the eye at different times and challenging them, lifting up the bar, one might say, enable them to practice heroic virtue. Reason, religion, and then respect. If we love God, then we must love creatures made in God's image. We respect others because of who they are, not what they do. These were the three R's that he adopted and formulated, and it was successful. The order grew, the Salesian order flourished and spread to all continents before his death. And he had 250 TAFE schools throughout the world, educating boys in trades, towards the sacred ministry, towards other occupations. And just think of how many good families came from his formation of young men, a work still needed in the world today. Hundreds of thousands claimed him as their father, although he was fatherless, as I said at the beginning. He adopted God as his father in heaven and was filled with his grace, inspired and assisted. But life wasn't always easy. If you do the right thing by God, others will torment you. He was hated and despised by many people, especially those who ran the factories, because he was depleting the workforce. And on several occasions, they tried to take his life. But he was no fool, and guided by God, and with special spiritual protection, he did flourish, and his order was successful. So we ask his inspiration today that we might join these words, the words of presence, the presence of God to ourselves and others, respect, authority, and obedience. It helps and leads to a healthy, holy life, so that we might attain the glory that John Bosco now partakes of. Praise be Jesus Christ.